The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
In this episode, we talk about decision fatigue, what it is, how all of us experience it, what we can do to be less fatigued with it, and examples of how it's shown up and how we have tried to deal with it in our own lives. Welcome to the podcast where it's all about living your love story and making your life a story where love wins. My name is Sienna.
And my name is Toast. We're married and we've been partners in life, love, and music since 2001, over 20 years. On this show, we share our life as an Asian American lesbian couple.
Some of our favorite topics are positive spirituality, holistic health, sometimes cats,
lesbian alert,
and other things we hope are entertaining, uplifting, and helpful for living your love story.
So here we go. Welcome to our home studio in the Pacific Northwest.
Hello, everyone.
Hope it's entertaining, uplifting, and
helpful. So I have a giant furry peanut on my lap.
Oh, that sounds very unusual also, for a lesbian.
Also known as Bear. Bear, our cat. So for those of you who have cats out there, I bet your cat has a million nicknames. Bear lately, his new nickname is Peanut. He's purring so loud. I don't know if you guys can hear this, but so lately his new nickname is Peanut, and it's also been Boodle Boo.
That's the one that was coming to my mind.
Berry I've Boo, heard. Mr. Boodle. What other ones?
I don't know why I'm drawing a blank because there's always so something. Many. I hear
he
you call him
so many things,
and I always repeat it.
He has so many. But anyways, so. Mr. Boot, Peanut,
boot.
Mr. Peanut is here in the house. I said that so proper, right?
In the house. He's in the house.
I wasn't trying to say it like that, but then it just came out like that. And then it's that. But
wasn't there some kind of like potato head? That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, Mr. Potato Head.
That toy.
That doesn't resonate right. with him. Anyway, so we are here. We are going to talk about something very real that I bet every single one of you is actually experiencing it, but maybe just maybe don't know the name for it, or maybe you do, but you don't give it much thought. You don't give it much weight in your day, but this is heavy. So we are going to be talking about decision fatigue today. But before we do, I got to tell you, we finally used roasted pumpkin that Toast made. She roasted some pumpkins.
The pumpkin puree.
Yeah, she roasted pumpkins and she scooped out all the fantastic puree, put them in freezer Ziplocs, and they've been in our freezer since November?
Mm-hmm.
Because these pumpkins were from Halloween, right?
Right.
Yeah. So we bought a bunch of sugar pumpkins, which is the one you would use for pumpkin pie. And so we've had these frozen pumpkin bags in our freezer. And so finally, just the other weekend, we were like, let's make a pumpkin pie. Oh my gosh. You guys, it was so delicious. It was so good. Toast ate most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because her favorite pie on the planet is pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
And so it should go to you. And I'm glad you ate it. But I gotta say, the recipe we have is just crazy good. It's a vegan recipe. It has a heavy coconut cream in it that makes it so luscious without making it thuddy. But it's also not coconutty.
True.
It's so good. It's good, you guys. And the crust we used was King Arthur's gluten-free crust mix because, you know, let's make it easier for ourselves. And so toasted the crust.
By having it be a prepared mix.
A prepared mix versus like, you know.
From scratch.
You're adding the flour, you know, mm-hmm. you're doing all of it. So toasted the crust. I did the filling. And we baked it, and it was just so good. And it was so nice to have pumpkin pie outside of Thanksgiving.
I like, you just appreciate it. So,
it's all the spices, that's why. Especially because it's still winter. You want to feel cozy. And it's just so delicious. So what's exciting is I think we have three more packets, right? Of frozen puree.
Yeah.
So the next one I want to make.
Two or three.
Is pumpkin bread. Mm. Ooh, maybe I should make that this weekend.
Is that also going to be a gluten-free?
Absolutely. I'm going to try grain-free and use almond flour instead. Yeah. So anyways, that's just our little pumpkin party that we had this weekend. And just so good. I don't think I've ever had pumpkin pie that wasn't from puree from a can. Ever.
Oh, so this was the first like from scratch puree
for
that
me.
We've had.
Yeah, for me, for pumpkin pie. What about you?
I really don't know.
Okay.
My grandma used to make the best pumpkin pie.
Oh, I bet she
It was the old fashioned way. It was not gluten free and it was not vegan.
It probably had heavy cream and milk and egg yolks and it was, the whole deal.
It did taste different, you know, the filling was more dairy feeling and all of that, but so good. I don't know, I was so young. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if maybe she did make it totally from scratch instead of from a can of pumpkin puree.
I think those she were was the old days school. But I think those were the days of Comstock, you know.
It was definitely the days Comstock where days, right? canned was canned available fruit. But I don't know if she used that all the time.
Yeah.
Because they also had a farm, like a little farm where they would grow.
Then she probably did it from scratch.
I don't know. I can romanticize it and think that she made it from scratch.
Let's make that be true. But it was crazy. To me, it was pretty, it gave me so much appreciation for canned pumpkin. Mm. All the work you did to make
it's
one 15-ounce amount
I guess
of
so.
Pumpkin.
You know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's not that much work.
It's a lot of work.
Okay, it's more work than, using a can opener. Yeah,
just
it is.
Cutting the pineapple. I mean, the...
Let's start the rest of the episode.
We just had pineapple.
We have this pineapple tea.
Okay, yeah, we do. It's late in the day. Decision fatigue is real.
Yeah. It's like muscle fatigue, right? If you keep using one certain muscle, it's going to get fatigued.
It's all the fatigues, like compassion fatigue, you know?
Yeah.
because we're all tired. But, okay, so what decision fatigue is it's exactly what it sounds like. So basically a person, we become depleted after making too many decisions in a certain period of time. So the more decisions we make in a day, the more fatigued we can become. And what I thought was really amazing is that it doesn't even matter how hard of a decision you're making. Mm-hmm. Even the simple decisions or the seemingly simple decisions of like what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat for breakfast, all these things contribute to fatigue.
When you say it, that does sound like it's like
sounds
really?
Ridiculous.
That sounds so weak. Like
it's,
you can't,
it sounds ridiculous, but
it builds up.
Yes, and so I mean, you're still having to use the muscle to decide,
right?
You know, you're still going. Yeah, what should I? Well, what's the temperature today? Are we going? You know, there's so many decisions you make in making a main decision. Mm-hmm. You know, the decision on the table often involves many little decisions. So all of that contributes to a fatigue that then creates a very, then just really makes your ability to make a decision not very good.
Yeah.
Your ability to then decide on things just gets weak. You're like not making great decisions. Sometimes you don't even want to make a decision. So you're like, I'm out.
Yeah. So like at the end of the day, when I ask you like, what do you want to have for dinner?
I'm like, I can't decide.
I can't even decide that.
You just decide.
Yeah.
You just do it. Yeah. You make the decision. I can't do it.
And it does, you know, like I can really relate to this
because, yeah, there definitely have been some workouts where I'll do the first set. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, that was easy. Like, this is not even a workout. But then I do on the 10th set.
Yeah.
I'm like barely getting through it.
Yeah.
So that idea of like, what? It's just about what you're going to eat, or it's just about what you're going to wear.
Right.
But then as the day goes on and on and yes. on, if you've had to make more and more decisions, it mm-hmm. does build up.
Yeah, it does. So how about I go over just some of the symptoms of it?
Okay.
I mean, it might seem obvious, but let's just say it anyway.
Just rattle it off.
So if you find yourself kind of negative.
Negative? Like irritable?
Like yeah, like negative emotions
bitchy?
Are kind of just, you're filled with like all these negative emotions. Sometimes it can be because you're fatigued. You're okay. you're dealing with decision fatigue.
Okay.
So negative emotions, feeling drained, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. You feel drained, can be from decision fatigue. Mm-hmm. Weakened, impaired judgment. Mm. That's a good one for nighttime snacking.
Or a bad one for nighttime snacking.
Nighttime snacking,
it's a good
because
example.
By the yeah. time it's nighttime, you've made all your decisions in the day.
You're tired.
How are you going to choose fruit or herbal tea? Have some herbal tea as your sweet treat after dinner. No ways. How are you going to have herbal tea? No, you can't. No, you need 12 cookies. That's what. Mm. So that's an example too of like kind of weakened judgment. Like, well, you said you're on a diet, like where given a morning choice, you're fresh, haven't made many decisions. Mm. You're leaving for work. You're like, oh, I forgot my breakfast at home. Let me just pick something up. You're at Starbucks. You're looking. Are you going to get out? Oh, bear, ouch. Are you going to get the cake pop or Starbucks' famous glazed lemon poppy seed cake?
I know what you're talking about.
Or,
oh my gosh.
Or are you going to get the oatmeal? Add hot water, you're good to go. In the morning, you'll probably get the oatmeal. You're more likely to get the oatmeal
good,
in the morning.
Good decision.
Yeah, because you're not fatigued. So anyways, so another symptom is that weakened, impaired okay. judgment feeling.
Okay. That also feels like a willpower thing.
Yeah.
You know, like mm-hmm. it's related to willpower. And it feels like it's also related to another thing of like just the fact that it's up for deciding.
Yes.
You know, is
yeah
allowing you room for making a bad decision.
Yes.
You know?
That is such a great observation because that's so true. Versus it's already decided.
Right.
I eat well. I am a person that eats oatmeal right. every morning because yeah. Right.
And at night, I just have herbal tea. That's what I have.
Right. Or I have one cookie, not 12.
Right. Right. Not a dozen.
So just a few other symptoms. Not even wanting to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, kind of like me, right? I can't decide.
Tapping out.
I don't know what's for dinner.
I
whatever.
Don't give a
you just
beep.
Put the food in front of my face. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Or the flip side, just being impulsive with the decisions.
Mm.
Just do that.
Get it over with.
Just do
it.
Yeah.
I just
got to make the decision already. So just do that.
Mm.
And then the last one, but I'm sure there are more symptoms than this, is procrastinating. Oh, I don't know. You know what? Let's just move that because I don't really know. I don't know. I don't know what to do. So let's just not decide today. Let's just move it to next week. So procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these can be symptoms.
I've done all of them.
Of decision fatigue. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I totally have too.
Mm-hmm.
So now what to do, right? So you,
right.
okay. So you're up. Yes. Yes. I am suffering from decision fatigue. So what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? Well, the obvious thing is decreasing the number of decisions you have to make in the day. And that's so obvious. But how many of us really routinize our day? Yeah. Because one of the things you really can do to help yourself out is to routinize. So what are you going to eat? So maybe you decide between these are your two main breakfasts that you have. You know, and on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I have breakfast number one. Tuesday, Thursday, I have breakfast number two.
Done.
You know, what's your main outfit? Say if you work from home, like Toast kind of has a uniform.
You don't. Why are you looking? You don't want me to say that? I feel like I just, you just seem like, wow, I just took off all your clothes. Like, you just seem so. Is that too revealing?
No. I guess I do. I never thought of it.
You have
never
a white really Hanes t-shirt and jeans. Like, you know, and then if it's cold, you throw something over. But it's like, that's kind of what you wear. Yeah.
And the variation is it my blue jeans or is it my camouflage jeans?
Right. Or your light gray or a gray
or the light
jeans.
Gray jeans. That's true. Sometimes it could even be a light pair, light gray pair of jeans. And this is the wardrobe thing is the famous example is Steve Jobs.
Oh, his turtlenecks.
Right. He always wore a black turtleneck. And it was like, ooh, that's so smart because he never has to think about what to wear because he has other things that he wants to think about.
Accomplish.
And make decisions about.
Yeah. And I know that when you think of routine, sometimes it's like, oh my God, every day, day in, day out. But something that Toast and I do is we have a pretty hefty, strong lined routine Monday through Friday. Saturday, Sunday, it's very relaxed. It's kind of like, whatever, however you want to do it, let's just relax. Because again, I think it was last week's podcast about the need for variation. So will this actually work if we have this need for variation? It can work if you structure it in a way that allows for that variation. So Toast and I have a strong routine Monday through Friday. Saturday, Sunday, very much more relaxed. You know, wake up whenever, all this kind of stuff. We just do different things.
So I'll try and remember putting the link to that particular episode. Episode was called Why You're in a Rut, the Need for Novelty.
Okay. So that's one thing you can do. And that's actually a big thing that will cut out a lot.
Okay. Routinize.
The other thing is taking more breaks in your day so it doesn't feel like you're just working, you're there, making all these decisions. Get up, go outside, feel grounded by nature, take a moment of break, remind yourself of what's really important, come back, and then those decisions, you can kind of meet it with a little bit of freshness. A little bit of freshness. So taking more breaks, having some kind of a mindfulness practice. I mean, everyone is saying that, but I think they say it because it works, right? It keeps you more in touch with, again, like the nature example of just what's important. And so that decision at work, even though, yes, those decisions are important, you know, you can make the decision from a place of perspective, you know?
Yeah.
And not having so much stress behind it. And then you're using so much more energy in making that decision, contributing to more fatigue. That's already your, you know, 50th decision of the day. It's like, it's a lot.
When you say mindfulness practice, it makes me think of arriving to the task of decision-making from a place of stillness.
Yes.
Instead of from a place of pressure.
Pressure, panic.
Right, pressure and scattered chaos and confusion. And that's...
And again,
I hate feeling like that. I love the feeling of being presented with the task of making a decision. And I feel up to the task, like having the sense of a clear head.
Yes. And so the mindfulness, something that's really important with the mindfulness is that if you have a mindfulness practice later in the day when you are having that decision fatigue, you will be less likely to act from that weakened place of judgment. You will be less likely to procrastinate on that decision because you're back in your center to make a decision from that more open space that you're talking about. Because it's way easier to make a mindful decision in the morning than it is when you have decision fatigue.
Yeah.
But decision fatigue, but mindfulness will help decision fatigue versus not having a mindfulness practice or just like letting it, whatever, blow it whichever way you want.
Yeah.
You know, whichever way it goes.
It makes me think of, you know, like if you're sanding something down and then the sandpaper creates all of this crud and grit.
Yes. throughout the day and the crud and grit is building up, then it's like, but if you take the time to kind of blow it off, wash it off, clear it off, then it feels clear. Everything just feels clearer and neater. And you're cleaning as you go instead of, you know, working on your project, cooking a meal or something.
Snowballing.
And you're not cleaning as you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it creates a lot of grossness. And it's hard to see what to do if you're working in a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, even in a physical project.
Right, yeah. Totally true. And then the last thing is delegate.
Make other people make the decision.
Yeah. Do you need to be the one to decide these things, or can someone else do it, do that job?
That is a huge...
That's when I delegate dinner to you.
Yeah. And that's what I delegate my workouts. Like, that's a huge thing, because deciding what your workouts will be down to, like, what exercises and how long are the sets and the intervals and what type of training
you delegate
and stuff.
To the program.
It's like, I love being able to just... follow a program.
Yes.
And not completely mindlessly. Like, I still...
modify.
Yeah, I'll still modify and deviate from the program if my body feels like I need an extra day of rest and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But having just ready-made workouts to choose from, I love it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's
so
that's
helpful.
Like delightful. Instead of like, oh, what am I going to... should I do...
Yeah, and if I had the time, if I had the time
to devote to it,
to construct my own workouts, I would probably enjoy it. But I don't have that time.
Yeah.
So
other things need your time first.
Yeah, so being able to just follow a program. Oh my God, I love it.
Yes, yes. Let me add one more.
Okay.
Because I think this is really important, and both you and I are trying to do this more and more, is when you structure your day... because just logically, as the day goes by, you're making more decisions. Mm-hmm. So decision fatigue doesn't come first thing in the morning, right?
Right.
Unless it's, you know, your morning started at 3 a.m. or whatever.
Right, unless you work the graveyard shift.
Yeah. So just with that logic in mind, structure your day so that you are, if at all possible, you're doing the most important thing that needs to be accomplished that day first, while you are fresh, instead of, you know, just having it somewhere in the middle of your day. Oh, I'll do it after lunch. Oh, God, that's like the worst time to do anything after lunch. But if you do it first, your most important things first, it's pretty amazing, because you will more likely get those things done. Mm-hmm. And you'll have such a pride in what you've done in the day. Like, you will feel, and not coming from that place of, I feel good about myself because I'm a productive person, not from that space, but just if there's something really important to you and you know you already got that done and it's late morning and you've done the most important thing to you, everything else is like, you know, you greet the day with just feeling really good about your progress, about all of that. And so
I love that feeling of momentum. Mm-hmm. And there is something to be said, for that feeling of accomplishment and knowing that you brought your best self to that important task. So hopefully
you
didn't let
the scraps of you.
Yeah.
You were able
hopefully to maintain a higher standard of higher quality standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I say, like your breadcrumb self.
Oh, okay.
You know. you didn't give your breadcrumbs to the most important thing.
Yeah.
You gave the whole
full entire slice.
Loaf. The whole loaf.
The loaf.
Toast.
Oh, geez. Okay.
But anyways, all this to say, decision fatigue is very real. And the bottom line really is to be compassionate to yourself. Don't beat yourself up if you're eating the 12 cookies after dinner. It's compassion. I mean, not compassion fatigue, it's decision fatigue, but you need more compassion for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't, you know? Sometimes I think we do expect too much of ourselves.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, we think we should.
There's so many shoulds. There's so many shoulds.
Sorry,
and that's what they say.
That.
That's what they say. Stop shoulding on yourself, right?
Yeah. So just...
You should stop shooting on yourself.
Yes.
That's another should. Oh, thanks.
But just be more compassionate and really start reflecting on your day and going, okay, am I feeling decision fatigue? Is this what I'm feeling, decision fatigue?
And that's normal.
Yes.
It's natural.
It's normal. Not like, no one, everyone suffers from that.
So it's plan real. For it.
Plan for it so that you can create a much smoother flowing life, you know, structure your day around this decision fatigue and put the cookies, like two cookies in a little snack pack, and then just grab the little snack pack after your dinner to prevent you from eating 12 cookies. Obviously, this is an issue for me.
Structure your day. And how about structure your day and your decisions, like outsourcing or making wardrobe decisions ahead of time or whatever, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Doing what you can with your schedule so that, and making decisions ahead of time so that by the end of the day, choosing 12 cookies is not an option and doesn't have to be an option because you're not so fatigued so that's a temptation.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why they say, okay, when you're going to work out, if you're working, I mean, they say work out first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Because if you're not healthy, nothing else matters, right?
Okay.
Workouts are part of staying healthy, getting healthy. So they say, put your shoes by your bed, put your workout clothes, fold it, have it all right there so that when you wake up, it's not about like, oh, should I work out today? What am I going to, oh, I have to get my workout jacket from the thing. It's in the dryer. Everything's right there. You wake up, boom, it's right in front of your eyes. Mm. And then it's just, okay, I have to walk there to put it on. But you can walk there. You're not walking there and deciding and then, I mean, it's real. It's real.
And what am I going to do
for my workout? The struggle
is real. Right? Like, it's like, hey, you already have this preset workout. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Your mat's downstairs. Everything's ready to go. All right. That's why I'm so grateful for Toast, because I'm doing this new workout and she's encouraging it, and not in a mean way. She's not telling me, you know, you need to work out, but you're encouraging.
Well, you want this to work out.
No, I want to work out. I'm just telling the people you're not mean and giving me hints like, hey, you better work out because you're whatever. So she's been helping me and she cues up the workout to the right one for the day. She has the light on and everything's ready. And she even puts a smile. I have a sheet like to check off when I've done the workout. And whenever I've checked it off, she puts a smiley face.
I have fun with that.
So that's
I try to keep you entertained and keep make it like an entertaining smiley face.
Yes.
And she's not just, you know, the same smiley face.
Yeah, you're doing different
over.
Smiley
like,
faces.
I want to make it
I have
like
notice that.
What kind of smiley face is gonna be next?
Yes, yes. And so I so appreciate that because I don't have to go, I have to go downstairs. It's cold. You know, I have to queue up, I have to start up the computer. I know it sounds so easy, but again, the whole point is that even these smallest decisions take away from your decision tank, your decision-making tank.
It's all relative, too.
It is. Yeah. And so that is that. And I think that's all we have to say about this for now.
I think to sum it up in the words of, I think it's Woody Guthrie, take it easy, but take it.
Yes.
That sweet spot. Right? Be compassionate on yourself, but don't let yourself be a lazy bastard.
I know.
Alrighty. Take it easy, but take it. Rate the podcast. Thank you for listening to your friendly neighborhood lesbians. That's us, Sienna and Toast. We're on Instagram, so see you there. Sienna and Toast is our handle, at Sienna and Toast. We're also at siennaandtoast.com. And as always, we encourage you to live your love story.
What is it you really want in life? No matter what you've been through, you can still achieve it. I'm Sandra Ann Taylor, and in my Energy Activation podcast, we'll explore the science of manifestation. And I'll give you specific techniques to shift your energy in order to make your dreams a reality.
I also do live energy readings, and you can be a part of the show by emailing your questions to me at sandrataylor.net. Join me on the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network or wherever you get your podcasts.